Welcome back to another edition of Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. It is not a Friday edition of Ball Don't Lie, but the last show of the week, the last show of the holiday weekend for us, and it's a damn good one. A sportsgasm, if you will. USC and UCLA both now headed to the Big Ten to make it even bigger and better than ever. We'll get to that. That's the big story of the day, but also legendary Lifetime Longhorn Kevin Durant has decided that he is done playing for the Brooklyn Nets. He is moving on, requesting a trade. We'll talk about the possibilities for Kevin Durant and the rest of the NBA rumor mill and what possibly could happen and what happened already with DeJounte Murray. We'll get into that. Also, Jalen Brunson. We'll talk about some of the other subplots in the NBA offseason. But, of course, right now, the huge story, the biggest story, Kevin Durant demanding a trade. We'll get to all of that and more. Also, John McClain, the general. Yes, the general. Joining us at 5:05. He is retired now, but formerly of Cron.com of the Houston Chronicle. He's one of the most respected minds in all of sports, period. But also he's going to join us at 5:05 to talk all things Houston Texans and all things Houston Astros, Rockets. We'll even ask him about the big stories of the day. Before we do get into all that, let's introduce you to the rest of the crew. He was a second-round pick for the Montreal Expos, but a first-round pick for the Austin Radio Network. He originally committed to the University of Texas, but decided to forego the 40 acres and the burnt orange to chase his dream and the cheese. Pimping ain't easy, but for him, it is a breeze, my man. Mike Harbaugh Hodge. What's going on, bro? How you
man,
doing?
Man, it's a slow day. It's a slow day. Yeah, I don't even know if we're going to have enough to talk about.
They always say this is supposed to be the dead season, the dead period of sports radio. I don't know what they talking about, man.
I mean,
I don't know what they talking about.
They haven't been in 2020 while, because 2020 brings you joy, and it makes it easy for you to show up every day. You know who else shows up every day? He hails from H-Town with the get down. He's a Lifetime Longhorn and a proud card-carrying member of DBU. Legendary Longhorn Derek Johnson said he was the best cover corner he had ever seen. You know he's a former NFL DB that still got that passion for film study? He's not a fan of white condiments. That includes whipped cream and sour cream. But he is a fan of you, the listeners. He is my man, Rod Babers.
I appreciate that. Actually, I got a compliment about your intro yesterday, and we were hanging out at the Flex Summer Social.
It's a flex.
At Waterloo. So, once again, getting some love there. So, I appreciate the intro, as always. Last but not least, he is the idealionaire on the show, the real MVP. It can't happen without him. One of the hardest-working members of the Arian family. He's got a hustler spirit, period. I don't know what he's paid, but he's underpaid. Patrick Davis. What's going on?
Oh, man. Let's get into it. I mean, they call this Mount Rushmore season in sports radio because everyone's normally just making up stuff to talk about. Not the case today.
No, not the case, man. Maybe that's just the old era. Maybe that's just the old era of sports radio. Yeah. Now, man, the offseason and the NBA, I will say the NBA spearheaded that, making the offseason an actual season that people talk about. They've been doing it for years. The NBA has kind of spearheaded that campaign. The NFL replicated their model. Now the NFL wants to be talked about in the offseason too, and they do it with the combine. They do it with the draft. Yeah, they drag all that stuff out now. But now college football too. It seems like we talk a ton of college football now in the offseason, not just spring football. Spring football flies by. This is like spring football was a long time ago.
It was.
Yeah, that was just a couple of months ago, but it feels like that was forever ago.
And we're
like
not even done today. NBA free agency starts in 2 hours.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So we're not even done with getting news today.
So technically, the NBA offseason actually hasn't technically started.
Correct.
No.
This is the rumor mill.
And we got 2 hours until we start to get a line of this guy's going here and this guy's going here and all that. About
Patrick,
2 hours.
I know there's a lot on your plate, brother. Like I said, I don't know what you're paid, what you're underpaid, but we're going to need you to stay in the Twitter sphere and on the NBA rumor mill just to hit us up with what's happening. Because it is fast and furious, and it's hard to keep up with.
It is.
It really is. So we're going to depend on Patrick. My man Hard is going to be keeping up with it, too.
We'll
try to keep you abreast of everything going on. That'll start around 5 o'clock, right when the general joins us at 5:05. But we'll get whispers from Patrick like, oh, man, y'all got to speed it up. This blockbuster thing just went down. So we'll get into that coming up at 5:05. So the show will
– And there's something – Go ahead. About the University of Texas baseball team that is out there as well. So we might have some news that might be official here. I made a couple phone calls today.
Now you breaking news. Now you gonna be breaking news.
I'm not gonna try to break the news.
You
but
are
it's
gonna
already
be breaking
out.
News.
No, it's already. There's been reports that have been out, but I've made some calls just to kind of verify if this is true.
All right. Okay. I'm just gonna tell you. You just can confirm it.
I'm just gonna tell you. The new rumor is the former head of a baseball coach for Baylor is coming to the University of Texas. To be on the staff, Steve Rodriguez.
Okay, boom, breaking news.
There it is.
He's also, so as if we don't have enough.
Yeah. I just wanted to put that out there for the baseball fans. I know that everybody's still trying to look for that search.
We don't have enough to process right now.
Right.
You going to throw that at us, too.
I just want to put that out there for y'all to think about while we get here. And we'll be in the
Do
hard
you know
jobs
what
life
capacity
a little bit today.
This may have?
He's supposed to be one of the assistant coaches, and they want him to possibly recruit.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. Yeah. It's a lot to keep up with.
It's a lot.
Yeah, all the prep we did. This is what I did with all the prep that I was doing for most of the show. That's what I did with it.
Yeah, that's what it is,
it's
man.
It's like that old Jim Rome bit. You just throw that out. It's done deal.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get right to it. All right, we'll get to Kevin Durant and his trade demands at the top of the four, top of the six. All right, so we'll talk plenty of NBA in the four and the six. We'll get into USC and UCLA going to the Big Ten. We'll hit it here, but also we'll hit it in Rod's round of the day because John McClain's going to join us at 5:05. So we'll hit it right at 5:30, right around that. Yep. All right, so we'll do that. We'll make sure we get it in. Astros versus Yankees. Go Astros! We got to talk about that because that'll actually first pitch around 5 o'clock, 5:10, 5:15.
Yep.
So we'll get that conversation in and get you an update on that at 5:45. We want to talk some Austin FC too because they actually have a match tonight. Is it tonight?
No. You might be correct. You might be
I believe
correct.
It's tonight. I know. I got surprised by it too because I was just
kind of popped up on
it. Yeah, it did because they usually all the matches are
6 p.m.
Tonight. Yes, I'm saying. So
that really threw me off.
Yeah, so exactly. I wanted to get it in earlier, but then all this stuff went down, so I apologize to Austin FC fans.
In the last hour of our show today, we will give you Austin FC updates, NBA free agency updates, and Astros Yankees updates.
That's what I'm saying. I was trying to.
And confirmation of a baseball coach at Texas.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that's in the six.
It's all in the six. So I'm sorry, Austin FC fans. I wanted to get the preview in and squeeze it in a little bit earlier, but it's going to be tough squeezing it. Because also another big story, and the Aggies are loving life right now. Loving life.
Oh, are they ever?
Loving life because at 3:30 segment, Aggies, you're not going to get away with it on Ball Don't Lie, Aggies. All right, we're going to discuss it. I know nationally you got away with it. You're good. Nobody's going to talk about the fact that you may or may not be in violation of NCAA rules. We won't, and there's proof of video evidence of it potentially. So that's something that we'll talk about at 3:30. So Aggies.
Man, that's Photoshop.
Yeah, hey, you know what?
That's a voiceover.
and that was going to be a big story.
It was.
I remember when that was trending, I was like, oh, man, it's going to be a big story. I was moving it up on the docket, and then boom, 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 boom. And then the Aggies got dropped down. So 3:30, we'll talk Aggies.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, let's go USC, UCLA, gentlemen. Let's dive right into it because this is a bombshell, and I think it hits close to home because I think we can all agree that it was, the butterfly effect and the domino effect of Texas and Oklahoma deciding to go to the SEC, and then the long-felt domino effect of that is now you have the reports from multiple outlets now. I mean, it's Pete Thamel, Stuart Mandel, Nicole Auerbach, anybody you want to name that's legitimate. At first it was like a rumor, but now it is past that. It is legitimate. They have all confirmed that USC and UCLA both are heading to the Big Ten. Pete Thamel says the latest for them. Sources said they have basically compared the move to Texas and Oklahoma, and it's similar in some ways because Kliavkov.
We talked about him yesterday.
Yes, the commissioner for the Pac-12. He has recently started. I mean, and I will get into his comments. He recently said that he wants the football programs, basically the football programs of the Big Ten, not Big Ten, the top 10 conferences in the Power Five and the Group of Five. He would like them all to separate and be independent of the NCAA, and they can make their own rules, enforce their own rules, and kind of set up their own basic franchise and corporation. And he's been public in saying that. And I think for him, I don't know if he probably already knew about this, but much like Bob Bowlsby, he was supposed to be working to progress the Pac-12 with the alliance, which we talked about, which was an agreement, a gentleman's agreement between the Big Ten, the Pac-12, and the ACC, so that they would align on decisions that would be in their best interest against the SEC, which had become the major power broker and owned most of the market share now of major college sports since Texas and OU were going to join them. So essentially, I don't know how it worked out, but Kevin Warren, who is the commissioner of the Big Ten, he essentially pulled the okey-doke on Kliavkov, because I'm sure he didn't know about it, but he found a way to entice USC and UCLA to come to the Big Ten, which is in the best interest of the Big Ten, but not in the best interest of that collective group, which was supposed to be the alliance. So they probably should have got the alliance in, they should have got that in writing or something like that, but there's no doubt that Kliavkov, based on the trust within the alliance, was he was hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, run amok. And now, I don't know if the Pac-12, can survive this.
How? I mean, you start thinking about it, the main players, and UCLA and USC haven't been at the top of the game. Fair enough. But those are the biggest name schools. I think Oregon is another school that we may see go to another conference as well. I don't see them not being able to do it. The Pac-12, in trying to your point, there should have been a writing and a signature on the alliance. If you're going to go out there and make these bold statements, because they were trying to take everybody else out. Big 12, you're not part of our alliance.
They did disallow the Big 12.
They were like, this is not for you. These are all the people that are going to be in this alliance. And then you start looking around. Who's out there? Who are some of the names that people want to see? People want to see Oregon. Oregon's going to find a place to play.
Yeah, Oregon's a brand.
BYU is already coming to the Big 12. They've already made their move. And I know they're not in the Pac-12, but it's another brand.
Washington so kind of
Washington,
brand.
Yeah, they've had their moments. Yeah, they've been in the mix.
Yeah, they got some of that.
They got some good talent up there. They put people in the NFL, and it kind of changes the way you look at it. But you start looking, and you're like, okay, where do we fit in? So wait a minute. You told me that we're going to form an alliance, and then now the alliance has changed. Oh, yeah, by the way, we're going to take UCLA and USC because you know why? We want that market. We want that L.A. market as well. How does that sound, UCLA and USC in the Big Ten? Huh, that sounds interesting. You know why? Because both of those schools actually have good education too. So we have to add that in there too. UCLA normally has good basketball. They normally have good baseball. They have some ancillary sports. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we know this is about football.
It's about money.
But it's about the money because they're seeing, they're taking a step back and looking around and saying, hold on, man. All these people right here are making this much money and the Pac-12 isn't making any money, but we need to survive. Oh, yeah, we're going to go ahead and make a move. We're going to make a move. And this is big. This is big for college athletics. This is big for what we've talked about the super conferences. This is the beginning of the end of those conferences as we knew it.
It could be somewhat good for the Big 12 if indeed they're trying to get to four super conferences, which, hell, the SEC and the Big Ten are already there.
Right.
I mean, we're already super conferenced up.
Right.
We're ready to roll.
Right.
If indeed, because the ACC's alliance, because we can talk about alliances, and we're talking about just just basically these different agreements within these power brokers to say, hey man, let's share some of this power so that we can make the ultimate decision about where the sport goes right now, because essentially there is a power vacuum right now in major college sports. Nobody respects the NCAA's authority.
You gone.
Nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody respects it because even the Supreme Court gutted the NCAA with their Alston, or part of their Alston decision, and basically you know, they dared someone to bring them a case that was worthy.
Flashlight cop.
So they could, yeah.
Flashlight cop.
And the NCAA, Nick Saban told us, they want to stay away from litigation.
Yep.
They're scared of litigation because they realize the more litigation they face, the weaker they become.
Yep.
Because they're going to get struck down every time. Because essentially they're a borderline criminal syndicate. We've been knowing that for years.
Organized crime.
Yeah, I mean, that, so they know they got no power. And I think this may be a power play. And give it up for the Big Ten. Because you think about this, right? The money. We're talking about the money. Straight cash, homie. That's what this is about. For me, I look at it like market share. Let's just say the SEC wanted to become the Apple of major college sports, right? They wanted to own the but like the you look at the American market for Apple, it's crazy. They own 70, I think around no, so across 63% of the American market is Apple smartphones, right? The smartphone market, and Android is the rest of it, a little close to, you know, around a little under 40% of it, something like that. If basically, the Big Ten decided the only way to compete with the SEC is to add more market share, which, and to me, market share is just not adding teams, it's adding blue bloods.
Right.
So UCLA, I don't consider them blue blood, but in basketball, they are. But in football, USC's the blue blood.
Yep.
So if they're in any of the big three revenue-generating sports, you add a blue blood, that's adding value to your conference. That's adding market share.
Yep.
And you want to own as much. And the SEC basically dominated. When they added Texas and Oklahoma, hell, Texas, blue blood in baseball, in football, Oklahoma,
basketball,
hell, in football.
Too. You think about it, basketball,
well,
too.
Well, not for Texas.
Well, they're not
an embarrassment there.
I believe you.
They're not adding the value of Texas baseball.
Correct.
Or Oklahoma football, that kind of stuff. So that's what this ultimately is about. And if you look at it now, looking at the Big Ten, how many blue bloods do they have if you include USC and UCLA, I guess, in basketball?
Yep.
Ohio State, Penn State,
mm-hmm,
Michigan,
mm-hmm.
Still in that conversation.
Michigan State.
Some would say Michigan State's in there, too, especially with basketball. Yes, exactly.
Yep.
So you're talking about just—
There's some eyeballs.
That's what you're trying to get.
That's it.
That's what you're trying to get.
It's that forward thinking we were talking about yesterday the two people that they brought in from different spice.
Because that's the broadcast deals, right? They're about getting eyeballs. So I think if you're looking at now the athletic departments that generate the most revenue in 2020, that's the latest evidence that I had, or this is the latest numbers that I had. 18 of the top 20 are in the SEC or the Big Ten. If you include the latest expansion with Texas, Oklahoma to the SEC, mm-hmm. and now USC and UCLA to the Big Ten.
Yep.
18 of the top 20.
Yep.
Highest revenue generating athletic department. So they basically those two, that would be Apple and Android. They'd become the Apple and Android of college sports. You wouldn't go, you know anybody else has any other type of smartphone? Are you an Apple or an Android? That's it. That's it. That's all we talk about.
I don't like the people with Androids because they make my phone green messages.
My brother hates Apple. I'm an Apple guy. What are you?
Patrick.
He's an Android. Yeah. That's why our thing is green when we start texting.
And that's what the SEC and the Big Ten basically want major college sports to become. You going Apple or you going Android? Yeah, they got their share, but you got to come to one of us. You got to come to one of us for your major college sports. That's what it's coming down to. Because right now, the Big 12 and the Pac-12, the ACC is smart because they got Notre Dame, which was brilliant. Remember they got that affiliation with Notre Dame?
Well, and ACC has basketball.
And like they got
ACC,
Florida State.
Because you have North Carolina and Duke in basketball, too.
Duke, exactly. Great point.
In basketball, you're doing a little bit better over there as well with Miami, can play good basketball.
And you got Miami
well.
Football. You got Florida State football. Yes. You got some blue. But Clemson has become a power.
I wouldn't be surprised if they made a play for Arizona or if someone made a play for Arizona because they are a basketball in that basketball blue blood conversation.
Now you think. Exactly. That's how you guys are thinking.
Yeah.
Forget about the regions and all that. Man, they're waiting. No, nobody cares about where they're on the West Coast or the East Coast. The NFL figured this out years ago. That's why they put the Dallas Cowboys in the NFC East.
Yep.
They're like, to hell with all that, man. I know we're trying to keep it regional and all that, but for the most part, right now, it's about market share and it's about brands and blue blood status.
Yep.
Well, and I mean, if you look at a teams like USC and UCLA with Pac-12 after dark, and they kept putting Pac-12 games on later and later and later. And if you're one of those teams and you go, hey, we want to get more eyeballs and recruits, we're not getting anyone past Texas because they're all asleep when we're playing.
Yep.
No one's watching us because it's 10 p.m., 11 p.m. on the East Coast.
Exactly.
When we're playing. So if we go over the Big Ten, we're going to play more games a little bit earlier and earlier, and we'll get more recruits across the nation because we're going to be at the same time as these other games, and we'll be competing with the timeshare of an Oklahoma, Texas, and we'll be competing with Michigan and Ohio State and Florida and Alabama and all those schools that are playing earlier in the day. As opposed to, hey, man, once you're done with college football and everybody's watching, go have a drink and turn on USC.
Yeah. Mm,
yeah. No, you're right about this.
Well,
great point.
Aren't
about
they supposed to change the start times this year, I think? I think they're going to be playing games at like 9 o'clock in the morning our time or their time, which will be 11 o'clock. So we'll be able to watch some of their games, but not near as many. And you're definitely correct. My cousin played for UCLA, and he was like, bro, I'm not finna watch you late at night, man. I'm
10 p.m. start
time. I'm gonna be in the streets, man. I'm gonna
be
in the
streets. Now you can DVR at least. Yeah, now, back in the day, you got the VCR, man. I'll videotape it, man. Or send
me the video.
Send me the video. Send me the video, man. I'll check out the box score.
Yeah.
But no, and a lot of people, if you're on the grassy knoll about the conspiracy theories, a lot of people believe that a lot of this is being manipulated, if you will, by the TV networks.
Because
Bob Boseby thought ESPN basically was the one that helped broker the Texas and Oklahoma to SEC. He was actually saying it out loud.
Yeah, he was.
He was the one that was the crazy nut that was actually sprouting these conspiracy theories out to everybody that would listen. So, and I think people were like, "Nah, you know what? We got to get rid of Boseby, man. He's saying this stuff crazy. He's messing with our money."
Yeah,
well, you can't have him messing with the money. Now, I'm not saying that they are, but I mean, ESPN and Fox Sports, the Big Ten deal expires in 2023. Pac-12 deal expires in 2024. Big 12 deal expires in 2025. SEC signed their 10-year deal, starts in 2024 with ESPN.
Yeah,
they.
They know what they're
doing. And it's all happening.
Yeah,
around.
They know
and
what they're
this
doing.
Is happening. I can't, me as a conspiracy theory person, I love the grassy knoll. I don't believe that's a coincidence. I do believe, I'm not saying that they're the ones who are the genesis of it. I'm not saying that they're starting this, you know, this movement and alignment, but they're definitely helping it. I think they definitely are staying out of the way of it. I will say that. They're laissez-faire.
Miss Parker know what she doing they're with like, their little,
you know,
shorts.
And
what
I will
they
say,
know exactly
we're not
what
going to obstruct
doing.
It. Exactly.
No, and there is a weird thing about, like, if you remember back in the day, Notre Dame always recruited the best because they had the NBC deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they were on TV. And now everybody's on TV. But now as you go further and further, more people don't have cable. And so to get on a brand like ESPN where people may have a subscription to ESPN now means more again, because if you're on Fox Sports, less people have Fox Sports than have ESPN. So you're going to be fighting for those eyes again when it goes to recruiting of, hey, man, if this kid is only got one channel, he probably has ESPN, not Fox Sports. And if he's watching, what games is he watching where he wants to go play with this guy because he's watching him every week?
Dude.
Versus this team.
Exactly.
ESPN Plus.
And you just talked about it. And right now, you're talking about even not market share of the eyeballs, which is what I was kind of getting at, and the blue blood status.
Yep.
Now you're talking about market share of recruiting.
Yeah.
Because all the recruits are like, well, I'm not going to go to those schools that aren't on TV as much as the SEC and the Big Ten schools are because I'm an iPhone or an Android person. That's what it is. Chris, the plumber says, we kicked my brother out of the family chat, then let him back in once he got an iPhone.
Yeah. My family's all Androids. We're good.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. People are very strict about that.
We are, because every time I see a green, I'm like, ugh. This dude right here.
See, that's what it is, man. So I get it. I understand it. To me, it's just a smart move by the Big Ten. And I can't believe that Kliavkov didn't see it coming.
It happened
to Boseby. But remember, I told you guys, Boseby and Sankey, Greg Sankey and Bob Boseby were working together. They were a part of the original group, the Proposal Expansion Committee for the playoff. It was Bob Boseby, Greg Sankey, Craig Thompson, Mountain West Commissioner, and Jack Swarbrick, the Notre Dame AD. They were working together for months on college football playoff expansion.
Yeah.
Actually, right here in Dallas, having meetings, working on college football playoff expansion. And behind Boseby's back the entire time, Greg Sankey's working with Kevin Eltife, Jay Hartzell, and Oklahoma leadership to get Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC. And Klyavkov, with the alliance, used that alliance, that trust that was supposed to be a part of it. Yeah. He used that to get close to him and then figured out, like, oh, this guy has no idea what's going on. You know what? Let me go get USC and UCLA. It's brilliant. It's Game of Thrones. It's playing chess when everybody else is playing checkers. Yeah. But it's duplicitous. That is something that's methodical.
Yeah.
And it's, you know what? It's very political now. And that's why you want to make sure you pick the right commissioner. You want to pick somebody who's forward thinking and somebody who can be cutthroat when they need to.
Right.
That's cutthroat. Yes. Are we alliance? You idiot. No alliance.
Right.
ain't no alliance. Hey, no, what do you mean alliance? What are you talking about here? That we thought it was foolish when we heard it, and now it sounds even more foolish. He basically used your naivete.
I was going to say, yeah, that's when you start, look at me. I'm going to take his kindness for a weakness,
and then exactly
I'm going to sabotage it. And now I'm moving on.
Yeah.
And now we're doing something different. And that's the whole thing, too. And we talked about the eyeballs and what's going on and who are the biggest players in it. And someone was right. I mean, you know, you think about Stanford. They have been one of the most consistent out of everybody in the Pac-12.
You got to get Stanford.
And academically, we keep forgetting about that. When you start, these presidents have to be on board with this academically. So if you can get people that are that smart, like Stanford people, and get them into your conference, that raises the stature of your conference as well.
I like the Stanford.
You know what I'm saying?
So the Big Ten should go get that one.
That's another one. That's why I'm saying, look at who's left in the Pac-12, and you could pretty much cherry pick who you want to be in it. Because I was just looking at this. So the Big 12, after Texas leaves, there's going to be still, 12 teams with BYU, Cincinnati, Houston, and UCF. The Big Ten will now have a total of 16 teams. So does the Big 12 try to go get those two? Because you're losing, and I know people hate to say this, but Texas brand, as far as academics, is that.
Yeah.
So you can replace it with a Stanford and bring them in because academically, those are the guys that Texas has always competed with for grades as well. And then you're looking at what Oregon is, the flash, the uniforms, the up speed. That's Oklahoma. That's a team that's fast moving. They like to get up and down the field. And they bring eyeballs too because everybody's always looking at their uniforms anyway.
Yeah.
So that's another team that you can bring in, and you got the money of Nike behind it.
Oregon and Stanford, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Those are two big ones. I like the Arizona State one.
Yeah.
I get you. I'm thinking about the Big 12, and I don't know if the Big 12, but the Big 12 right now is better off than the Pac-12.
Potentially. By far.
Yeah.
They got more stability because they already went through it.
They're 3 years further down the line.
Yep.
And they have at least now, they have, you know, they basically have assets coming in.
Yep.
That are also valuable in their own way. BYU and U of H and the Houston market, that kind of stuff. So, man, I don't know what the Pac-12 is going to do. They got to try to convince Oregon and Stanford to stay.
Oh,
and Washington.
Yeah, those three.
I think those are the three you start with. Then I'd go to the Arizona schools and convince them to stay. If you can get Stanford and Oregon and Washington to stay, then go get the Arizona schools to say. Then I think you got a conference. You can start with something. Other than that,
I know
the conference is done.
I know you're a football junkie, and all of us are in here. But when you start looking at the game and seeing what's going on, how many times have you watched Arizona State? How many times do you actually sit up and watch
that?
Is
a great question. Now,
you know what I'm saying?
Trying to recollect that.
No, I mean,
they're not must-watch television. They haven't been for a while.
Haven't been.
But Arizona is basketball. If you're getting Arizona, just getting it for basketball. Like, I mean, they have a football team, but you're getting it for basketball.
Yeah.
And if I'm the Pac-12, I'm, you know, you're looking at a Gonzaga and you go, let's boost up our basketball some. So at least we have something to build off of.
Yeah.
And then maybe we can get some football teams and some recruiting in California and we can build some stuff back up. But let's go get a couple of these East Coast teams that don't have conferences because they're not as big as schools. And bring them in at least for a little bit to bolster our basketball, because now your basketball is hurting.
Something that's been talked about for years, and I even threw it out there 4 or 5 years ago. I think everybody's discussed it at this point and discussed it mostly from the Big 12 point of view. of trying to basically, you know, trying to go out there and combine their resources and try to do some type of combination of the Pac-12, Big 12 fusion.
Right.
Where you guys become the super conference. Is that a possibility? You got to kick some schools out now.
Yeah.
But that actually may be their best option for survival now over for both parties involved.
Yeah.
Over trying to selectively integrate the conference somehow with new members.
This is how the Big 12 and SEC are looking at, and Big 10 are looking at the Pac-12. You ready to go night-night?
Yeah, because they're going
to. You ready to go night-night because it's about over.
You got to think big.
Yes.
You can't be thinking small. It's like, oh, let's add Air Force or let's add, you know, Utah State. No. You got to think bigger than that. You got to start thinking on a grand scale. Grand scale would be, hey, hit up the brand new Big 12 commissioner and say.
Because he's open to all kinds of ideas.
He's open now, too. And
he's open to all ideas.
You know, because he's an alien. Yep. Both you guys are aliens. You're not dinosaurs and go, dude. Let's just combine forces.
Right.
Let's kick out the assets that don't matter. Let's keep the assets that are the most valuable to our conferences right now, and let's have a Big 12, Pac 12, we'll name it something else, but let's become a conference, and then they will have to give us a seat at the table. All right? It'll be just one seat as opposed to two, but it's better than having no seats. All right? Is you know what I mean? Don't be, you know, what I always say, guys always passing up they for show. Fuss and mo, and they end up with no.
Yep.
Your for show, I think your for show is Pac-12, Big 12 combination of some kind.
If you want a real seat on that college football playoff, that March Madness, all those big things that are moneymakers for you,
you need to have
a little bit more power because you're not really in those conversations anymore.
Yep. Expand and then combine the conferences.
Yeah, well, they're going to have to do it, and they're going to have to do it fast because it seems like this stuff is already moving. This is – The trains are on the track, and you better get ready for it.
Yeah, you're already behind.
Yeah.
So are we. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Aggies. Did the Aggies violate NCAA rules, and is there video evidence of it? We'll talk about that when we come back right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn. All right, changing up the musical theme of the day, we are just actually just playing songs that represent the greatness of America. All right, things that make you think about America. Of course, July 4th weekend coming up on Monday. We're actually off tomorrow, and we're off on Monday. Hope you guys have a great 4th of July weekend. So my man Patrick switching up the theme, just celebrating America and celebrating all the great things about this country leading up to Independence Day. All right, we'll get into, I like this product. I mean, can you get more iconic USA or Americana than Bruce Springsteen?
Bruce Springsteen saying it with his chest. He's saying it with his chest.
You know what? There are some good ones, though, and I don't want to spoil it. You know what? I'm not going to get into it because I might spoil it.
There's one right answer. I'll play that
one. I'm going to give you a hint. You guys know who my
that's the one right answer.
Favorite artist
that's
is.
The real one right answer.
But I don't know if it's as iconic as Born in the USA.
No, but I think it's more pro-USA. This one has some... This one's a more realistic view of the USA.
Yeah. He was trying. Yeah, some undertones to it.
Yeah.
No question. Yeah. But that's the theme of the day. Let's talk about the Aggies because they were the big story for about 15 minutes. And then they weren't anymore after we heard the news about USC and UCLA going to the Big Ten and then Kevin Durant requesting a trade. We'll get to the Kevin Durant story at the top of the 4 o'clock and we'll start breaking down the NBA rumor mill a little bit. But Kevin Durant demanding a trade will be the big topic of discussion. But the Aggies, they for a while, they're probably very grateful right now to the sports gods for dropping those other two stories. But Longhorn Nation was really excited because they believed that the Aggies put their foot in their mouth with a video that was released by a recruit. I guess a recruit was just out, you know, he was there on a visit and he was out in the stadium on a tour of the stadium. I'm not sure who's giving the tour of the stadium, so I don't want to throw anybody under the bus there. But obviously an Aggie representative, a member of the either the coaching staff or the administration there, was giving the tour. And he says something during the tour that's got Longhorn fans really, I would say they're excited, actually. Yeah, they are excited. They're ecstatic.
because they think that the Aggies may have violated NCAA rules, and this is proof of it. So here we have some sound of it, but after this, I'll just read to you exactly what he said. He says, the guy supposedly says, y'all getting a lot of money from the people behind these suites if you decide to come play here, end quote, during the tour. Here's the sound of it, but it's really hard to make out.
Y'all getting a lot of money from these people behind these suites if y'all decide to go play.
So, all right, Longhorn fans, figure that's in because inducement is an NCAA violation of the NIL policy because you cannot induce a recruit or prospect to come to your university to take advantage of NIL prior to their status as a student athlete. NIL is for student athletes only. Now, we don't actually know how much the university's representatives, coaches, whoever, can talk to the recruits about name, image, likeness. We've talked about this. We don't know.
That's a gray area. Yeah, that's a very gray area. And we probably need to talk to somebody from compliance. We probably need to find somebody from compliance.
That might be a nice interview.
Yeah.
You probably, your Rolodex, you definitely got somebody from compliance in your Rolodex. I know you do. You got John McClain on. CDC on.
Yeah.
Well, you got some compliance in there.
I'm going to see if we can get some compliance. But I'm checking right now in the portal to see if Jimbo Fisher is in the portal right now for himself because of all this stuff that is going down. Jimbo Fisher, I've always thought about this for a long time. You know how emphatic he was and demonstrative about his representation, right? The way he was being perceived. He was so adamant about it that he wanted to fight. It seemed like he wanted to fight about it.
He was hot.
But now the video comes out, and I'm sitting here thinking to myself, he's like, hold on, man. All my life, I had to fight to try to get this to you. And now you were trying to do this to me? You're going to have to do right, and he's going to have to make a phone call right now or send a text or some Tiff's treats to my man Nick Saban because Nick Saban is sitting in his office with his hands behind his head with his feet crossed saying, see, he thought I was trying to be funny, and he's mad at me, but he's got his own people walking around making this comment about these people up in these suites are going to pay you a lot of money if you come here.
I will say it's just saying the quiet thing out loud, which, by the way, in this country is happening way too much.
Oh, dang. Freedom of speech, though. I'm all about respectful speech, too.
Respecting one another. And you know what? Some things you should just keep to yourself.
Yes.
Let's talk about it where nobody ain't videoing it. Yeah, our moms and dads told us that. I was like, some things are better left unsaid. That is actually a thing. A wise man once said nothing at all. But no, getting back to your point, I do believe that, you know, the unsaid thing everybody believes is that the Aggies had a ton of name, image, and likeness revenue that they or at least a fund of name, image, and likeness capital that they built up that they were ready to spend on the number one recruiting class in history, I believe.
Yep.
But it's right now the only thing illegal about that or against the rules about that would be
still a gray area.
Yeah, the inducement factor.
Yep.
Did you induce the prospects that you recruited to sign the letter of intent with name, image, and likeness?
Yep.
And I agree. That's some people say that's stupid. Why does it even matter? Of course they did.
Right.
Yeah, I think everybody agrees. Yes, they definitely did. There's no question about. And you know what? Texas is doing it too. We just don't know to what extent. We just don't know.
Correct.
And we don't know the rules and the rules are state laws.
Yeah.
We don't know the laws about what restricts you from
the conversation, at least.
From using name, image, and likeness while recruiting a specific prospect.
Yep.
We don't know that. None of us know. Unless you read the actual state law and figure out what the state law says about it. And by the way, state laws, purposefully vague. Intentionally vague.
Of course.
They don't even want to address these things. They may not even have addressed it that much. It may be just some vague, clause in there written up by some lawyer that gives a lot of loopholes in there. So that's the question. So to defend the Aggies, I don't know if it's an NCAA violation. If it is, you know, the NCAA right now,
they got other things to worry about.
They're a toothless, organization. I mean, there's not a lot of people that respect their authority. Their authority.
Yeah.
Right now.
And that's very fair, and that's a great point, Rob, because when you sit here and you're looking at, okay, how is it inducement? How do you have the conversations? What exactly is it that you're talking about? Well, the biggest thing for me, and this should be obvious to everyone that's involved, if I'm a recruit, all you have to do is type in collective. That's it, because everybody has a collective. So you can find out ways on how you would be paid at another point. If you go and because just like
but
anything
only,
else.
Only if it's like a pancake factory, though.
Say
I'm a DB and I'm going to a school. Say there's no pancake factory and you're an offensive lineman to come somewhere. Then you don't know if they're giving you $50,000 a
year.
Very
fair.
So you want to know.
Very fair.
Mama wants to know. Daddy wants to know.
But
they might ask the awkward question.
But I'm talking to Deshaun Jameson on my recruiting trip. I'm talking to Anthony Cook. Whoever my recruit leader is,
you'll
be like, yo, man, tell me a little bit about how you got to this point. What is going on? You don't have to tell me how much you're making, but you can tell me that I'm riding in a Lamborghini today.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I can use my, as my man Sean Adams used to say, I can use my ocular proof to kind of research and see, oh, this is how much this. We can go to On3 and got the NIL projections
and the valuations.
And see exactly how much each little kid or each player is getting, so you could do your own research.
You can.
But when you come in there and you're having a conversation with, I don't know who that young man was that was on that recruiting video that we just played, but I will check again next week to see if he's still employed at Texas A&M University.
Probably not.
Because first thing you always have to check around is if you are being recorded. When most kids are on these recruiting trips, they're running the video.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, check me out. I'm at Texas A&M. I'm at Texas. I'm at wherever. So you always got to be cautious of the people in your surroundings all the time. Those are one of the things that I teach my kids all the time.
Be aware.
It's like, be aware of your surroundings because you never know the people that are around you.
That's on him. And Aggies can always argue, he's going rogue. That guy went rogue.
He
started talking.
Us.
We don't even know. He went off script. We don't know what he's talking about. And that guy doesn't even work for us anymore, which I'm sure they will.
The irony is that Nick Saban got in trouble for saying something when he didn't realize he was being recorded. And now A&M is getting in trouble. Just be aware. You're always being recorded.
Yeah, but then we wouldn't get these great stories.
I agree. All right, don't be aware. Don't be aware.
Yeah, so continue to be unaware. We want the content.
Get caught up
here.
In the moment where you're not
We want
prepared.
The content, please.
Unless you play for the University of Texas, then be very aware.
Then be very aware.
Very aware.
I'll give you this. Here's the truth, guys. Every school in the country is using name, image, and likeness as an inducement.
Yes.
The violation of the rules or the law is when you actually say it out loud.
Out loud. That's right.
As Harj mentioned, you can go to third parties to find out.
Yep.
You probably can go straight to the compliance office, your damn cell phone, your business, and go, hey, man, how does it work? Can I talk to y'all about it? Oh, yeah, we can talk to you about it.
Exactly.
Or, you know, they are, like you said, there are other ways around it. The third-party collectives can reach out to you individually because they know you're a, quote, big-time recruit. But who nudged them to reach out to you?
Yes.
We know who does the nudging.
Absolutely.
The coaches are nudging.
Yep.
They're doing the nudging.
I can tell you, at the end of the day, they'll just, the NCAA will say, as long as you just say you can make money if you come here, that's not, like, you just can't say amounts.
You can't
say specific players. You can't go, you will make $2 million.
Exactly.
But you can say, look, these people will give you money. Because in reality, I can point to any suites in
You're
any
exactly
stadium
right
around
about
in Texas
That's
and go,
exactly
these
right.
people will give you money.
These people
exactly
are giving
right.
you money. You know what I mean? So, if it is a violation, it'll be like speeding on the highway. Everybody else will pass that officer up and that person who's pulled over to the side, but they'll also be going 5 miles over the speed limit, too.
Yep.
They just were the unlucky ones.
Guilty.
Exactly. Y'all like, oh, that sucks for them.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back. The Flex on the other side right here on Ball Don't Lie, Waterford, not the Horn. Welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. It is our Flex segment, FLXATX.com. That's how you find out more about the Flex. As a matter of fact, you can go there, and I'm sure there will be highlights and photos. Go to FLXATX in the Twitterverse from yesterday's Flex Summer Social, which I got a chance to attend out there at Waterloo Ice House, the South Park Meadows location, which I think I've been there before, but it was a while ago. Because I hadn't been there in a long time, probably because of COVID and all that kind of stuff. But I had had a good time, and it was a great turnout there. And Snoop said that basically the entire all Flex watch list defensive line turned out. So it was a lot of huge human beings in there. And I thought that I'm glad I heard him say that this morning, because that's what I thought when I was just like, man, a big, giant. I'd say call them kids, but
they are.
I mean, they are kids, but they were just huge human beings too. And it makes sense that he said that most of the, he said I think like 8 of the 10 of the All Flex Watchers defensive line showed up at the Waterloo Ice House there in Southbrook Meadows. So shout out to that group too. But it was a bunch of folks there. They talked to football players, volleyball players,
coaches. Yeah.
So go check that out. I believe we do have it at hornfm.com. You can go podcast the whole thing there at hornfm.com. But they can
We're on Spotify and Apple.
Boom.
That's right.
Shout out.
You can get all the shows on Spotify and Apple now, too.
Nice. There you go. There you go. I mean, we'll get into, I think, more Flex discussion, of course, next week when we start back up the shows. But it's the offseason, so they're starting to jump into, I think, volleyball and some other sports, too, because obviously football right now is the offseason officially for them. We're done with the All-Flex watch list, done with the 7-on-7 tournaments. So we'll have some recruiting updates there, but we might be expanding our footprint in the Flex universe, just so you know about that.
No doubt. Shout out to Clayton, too, who runs Waterloo. He always talks about his great staff and his great team of people that work with him. So shout out to them. They are all Flex as well.
Yeah. Shout out. That's a great job, too, showing the love to Waterloo Ice House, too. All right. We'll come back. We'll get into Kevin Durant's trade demands and give you the latest on the NBA rumor mill, but the biggest story being Kevin Durant deciding that he wants to go to another team. He wants out of Brooklyn.
And I think I know where he's going.
All right. Harsh knows where he's going.
Yep.
We'll talk about the other possible destinations for the legendary lifetime Longhorn Kevin Durant right here on Ball Don't Lie. I want to